And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is pioneering spirit. Each of my guests has a pioneering spirit about his or her subject. My next guest is a medical doctor who pioneered the removal of extraterrestrial objects from human patients. We'll discuss his findings from his book, The Aliens and the Scalpel. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question of my guest, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Roger Lehr is one of the world's most important leaders in the physical evidence research involving the field of ufology. He and his surgical team had performed 15 surgeries on alleged alien abductees. This resulted in the removal of 16 separate and distinct objects suspected of being alien implants. These objects have been scientifically investigated by some of the most prestigious laboratories in the world. Dr. Lehr is a podiatric surgeon, and he has been in private practice here in Ventura County for the last 43 years. He's the author of 4 books in the United States and 3 books outside of the United States. Dr. Lehr holds his academic degrees as a doctor of podiatric medicine, a bachelor of science, and an associate in arts. Joining us here in Ventura County. Hi, Dr. Lehr. How are you today?
Fine, Bill. How about yourself?
I am doing terrific. Thanks for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And I want to cut right to it because you're a medical doctor. You're a man of science. But the pursuit of aliens, ufology as it's called, is associated with, well, let's call them less than scientific methods and means. So help us reconcile the apparent difference between your medical training, your scientific background, versus your pursuit of UFOs.
Well, I think the analogy is very good, and also it would lead us right into how I got involved in this in the first place, and that was as a scientific skeptic. Someone came to me with an X-ray, an investigator in the field of ufology, and touted some objects that he saw on the X-ray as alien implants, and I giggled and laughed and walked away. Then I was rather coerced by a friend of mine to come back and listen to what he had to say. Boiling it down to the fact, I just said to him, well, if you think these objects are so unusual, why don't you just take them out and see what they are? And he told me that the individual would probably like to have that done, but didn't have any medical insurance and didn't have the funds to do it. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do it free. So that's how I got started on this as a challenge and as a scientific skeptic. And now we've gone some years ahead with the work and the research. And we've performed 16 different procedures, which has netted us 17 objects, and all but one has a definitive scientific interest. All the objects we removed have been looked at by world-class science laboratories all over the world, such as New Mexico Tech, Los Alamos National Labs, and a host of other noted laboratories. And the latest findings show that these objects have non-terrestrial properties and capabilities which most academic scientists do not understand.
All right, well, let's hit the pause button right there because there's so much in that last answer, Roger, that I want to go back to. First of all, you've removed 16 objects from these different people. From where did you remove these objects? And describe some of the procedures and what it is you've removed from these people.
Well, the objects themselves can be divided synthetically into 3 categories. One is metallic with a biological coating. Number 2 is non-metallic with no biological coating. And the 3rd is biological, period. Now, these come from various areas of the body, and although my field is foot surgery, we have set up a nonprofit organization called ANS Research, who does the work, and we have other surgeons and other academics that work with us. So when these objects are removed, I work with general surgeons or ophthalmologists or whatever who need be. But anyway, they come from usually the hands, arms, feet, any place in the body where the bone seems to be relatively superficial and the objects are not deep. And as I mentioned, we've had, you know, certain classifications that we've designated for the objects. But by and large, the majority of them are metallic with a strange biological coating.
Well, let's dig a little bit deeper into those three categories. And the one that did pique my interest the most was the first one that you just mentioned, metallic with a biological coating. What is a biological coating? What is it that you're trying to describe there?
Well, let's look at a piece of metal. You know, suppose you took a nail, one that you pounded in a wall for something, and you were able to coat this with something that was a biological tissue, and then put the whole thing into the human body and have the body not reject it. That's what we believe the coating is for. Now, we used to believe that a metallic object was maybe dipped or placed in some kind of a genetically preformed biological solution made from the DNA of the host, and that's why there was no rejection. But now we see that it's far more complex, and you have to remember, as time goes on, man's ability to look at the minute structures that we have on a microcellular level and also as an atomic level has increased tenfold. Now we see there's an actual phase, and I don't want to get too complex because our listeners won't understand what we're talking about, but let's call it a phase in which the metal itself is converted to non-metallic biological tissue.
So the metal itself degrades or transforms into a biological tissue?
That's correct. It's transformation, not degradation.
Transformation, not degradation. All right. The third category you called biological as well. So what would be some of these biological implants that you've removed?
Well, so far we've only had one. It was an object that was about the size of a small marble as it appeared under the skin. And when the individual touched it, it would move. Finally, upon examination, when I examined her, I could place my finger near the object, and it would move anywhere in a circle on her arm of about a 2.5-inch diameter. And after doing it for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, it then began to follow my finger. In other words, I could move my finger and the object would follow it in the direction that it was going. This was removed and it was about the size of a large pea, yellow in color, with some coarse dark lines running up the sides of the object. It was totally biological. It was bivalved, and I can compare this, for example, to a clam. But please, anyone in the audience, please don't get the idea that Dr. Lear said he removed a clam from the body, because I've had that happen before. So it's a bivalve type of thing. It opens from the center, and maybe this is the way that it motivates through the subcutaneous tissues.
My guest is Dr. Roger Lear, author of the book The Aliens and the Scalpel. We're talking about removing unearthly objects from alien abductees. So I guess my next question to you is this, Dr. Lear. Were these procedures done under scientifically verifiable conditions so that, you know, nobody can contest what it is that you've removed from these people?
Well, Bill, we certainly like to think they are. All the surgeries are filmed with multiple cameras. We have eyewitnesses that have been asked to come and sign documents that say that they have seen the surgeries. We have the testimony of other professionals that we have there who attest to the fact that the surgeries are done. The objects are sealed into a container. The seal is not broken until the laboratory opens the container and looks at the object, and it has to be signed for. Most of our evidence is treated in the manner of a forensic type of evidence that you would follow if you were doing police procedures.
All right, so it's there's a chain of evidence and so forth that is maintained throughout that. So, Dr. Lear, I'm going to ask you to draw some conclusions. What conclusions, if any, can you draw from the objects that you've removed from these patients?
Well, up until quite recently, we were unable to draw any conclusions whatsoever, and everything fell within the realm of theory, which you can scientifically take into a laboratory and either have to prove it or disprove it. But now our board at ANS Research has quite a few PhD scientists, two in a group who are nuclear physicists, looked at these objects and looked at the accumulated data, and have come up with some very exciting findings. And Dr. Robert Koontz is quite a world-known, famous nuclear physicist, made some mathematical calculations as to how these objects degrade in comparison to the Big Bang theory and where certain elements are located within the universe. And in doing so, he concluded that that they come from a distance not less than one-third away across the Milky Way galaxy.
Wow. A third of the way across the Milky Way.
Right. And that indicates a civilization which he, again, has calculated that is no younger than 30,000 years into the future than we are. 30,000 years older than we are. That's a minimum. He says it is possibly a tenfold that same figure.
So this is an advanced civilization. So again, I'm going to ask you to speculate, if you will, Doctor, there, on what would an advanced species, why would they want to travel across the galaxy, a third of the way across the Milky Way, to implant some items inside of human beings?
Well, again, that's speculative again and theoretical, but let's say, for example, that we are not alone. We've never been alone, and there is an advanced civilization who may have been responsible for us in the first place. This is not anti-religion or anti-theism, but it is possibly takes place. I mean, the Catholic Church recently has come out with a statement that their extraterrestrial life may be considered without sin because what happened here may have not happened elsewhere. But be that as it may, if these entities were responsible for our development on this planet, perhaps that they have come back from time to time and done some genetic re-engineering, I would say, for the better to help mankind survive.
Now, what makes you think that they are responsible for us being here? Could we not have evolved separate from them?
Well, most of the latest information, evolution does occur. I have no problem with evolution. Most scientists do not have a problem with evolution. But remember, Bill, that they're still looking for that missing link. There is no missing link. And if we look at the writings of Zachariah Sitchin, who is one of the foremost world's leading authority on the Sumerian clay tablets, his translations tell us that 435,000 years ago was another planet in our solar system, which he called the ninth planet, Nibiru. There was a race of individuals who came here highly advanced called the Anunnaki. Now, we can look again at not only the Sumerian literature, but other ancient texts, and you will find evidence of the Anunnaki. And their head geneticist, whose name was Enki, used what was already here, which was probably primitive man. Neanderthal did gene splicing and then produced Homo sapiens.
All right. My guest is Dr. Roger Lear, author of the book, The Aliens and the Scalpel. Roger, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Aliens and the Scalpel?
Well, I want them to look at it and take it, you know, not as a text, because I put a great deal of my own personal experiences in that particular book. And incidentally, there's edition one and edition two. So edition two is now available. Edition one is available through my website as a audio book, and it's I think around 100-some-odd minutes.
All right, that's great. And if people are interested in learning more about you, learning more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Okay, they can take a look at my website, which is Alien Scalpel. That's S-C-A-L-P-E-L,
alienscalpel.com. Alienscalpel.com. Roger, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Thank you.